Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, the 2nd of October, 2007, and welcome to episode number 4 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, feedback, drinker's diary, we relate ABV to units of alcohol, we begin our series covering the styles of Belgian beers, quick tasting, and our try before you die section. So, let's get cracking. First up, news. And 3D Entertainment have come under fire again, this time for introducing All You Can Drink promotions. While there are generally no complaints about the all-you-can-eat buffets that exist in several small towns and probably contribute more to ill health than a night of binge drinking, this reflects badly on the whole industry. For Beer Crate listeners, however, I can't see they're likely to be offering decent beer from a well-kept cellar to those wanting convivial company. Instead, it'll be the late-night lager boys who enjoy standing seven deep in a queue at the bar. Move along, folks. Nothing to see here. If all-you-can-drink beer is one idea to get people back into the pubs, perhaps a better solution is that of Tony Brooks, who's offering customers free beer. So, when buying 4 pints of ale, for example, you'd get a free bottle of beer to be drunk off the premises. Additionally, there are some suggestions of collection cards, similar to the way supermarkets work, by building up points over the course of a year. So, come Christmas, you have a card entitling you to an entire hamper's worth of free beer. Hamper presumably not included. Capital Pub Company has bought Puzzle Pub. The finances for this are linked to its continued performance over the next year, but total consideration is, according to the Republican, £5.75 million. This seems a lot, considering there are only two Puzzle Pubs, both in London, but both have an annual turnover of £1.8 million, although no word on the actual profits. I'm suspecting it's part of a bigger plan to buy the various free houses around London and use it as a bargaining chip with the breweries. But since Puzzle Pub has the dubious honour of serving me the worst pint of pride ever, I think there's still a way to go. Feedback. And Sue from London asks about units of alcohol and ABV. Yes, this was in response to the news item last week that nearly half of students don't know how many units their drinks contain. Well, we'll have a short feature coming up on today's programme, so stay tuned. Niels from the Netherlands was the originator of a link that we'll place in the show notes of the late Michael Jackson discussing how he got into the industry. It's quite a long viewing for those surfing at work, but it is an entertaining and informative piece of film, and I look forward to the full version. Brinker's Diary, and three festivals for you this week. Croydon and Sutton Real Ale and Cider Festival is on between Friday the 11th and Sunday the 13th of October. This is in Wallington Hall on Stafford Road. Also on that weekend, and further north, is Oxford Canberra. This is at the Town Hall in Oxford. And finally, further north, and the week after, is Stoke Beer Festival, running from Wednesday the 17th to Sunday the 21st. This takes place at King's Hall in Stoke-on-Trent, and we'll put a link to those on the website. So, ABV and units of alcohol. How much is in your drink? Well, one unit is 10 millilitres of pure alcohol by volume. Now, naturally, most beers aren't that strong, so a pint of, say, 5% beer has 28.8 millilitres of alcohol, a pint being 568 mil, for those still working with that newfangled metric measurement. So 28.4 mil of alcohol is about 2.8 units, which seems like quite a lot. Government guidelines state that for men, 3-4 units a day or less will pose no significant risks to health. Women, on the other hand, are safe with 2-3 units. With most of the darker ales, milds and stouts covering most of today's show, that's not a lot at all. This is the first part in our series discussing Belgian beers. This week, we are covering Trappist ales. This is the term given to any beer brewed in the monastery of monks. Furthermore, the process must be undertaken by, or at least supervised by, the monks themselves. There are just 7 Trappist breweries in the world, 6 in Belgium, 1 in the Netherlands. Despite popular belief, Leffe is not a Trappist ale, since it is not brewed by the monks, but instead is brewed under license by InBev. The same is true of a Vliegem, but we'll discuss Abbey ales next week. Most Trappist ales are characterised by their strong taste, and the fact that all beers receive a second fermentation in the bottle. This is also known as bottled conditioned beers. Of the seven Trappist ales, Chimay is probably the best known, and was re-established after World War II with the help of Jean de Klerk. Chimay Blue is most widely accessible, followed by the red and the white, the colour referring to the labels, not the beer. Additionally, there is a Grand Reserve, which is slightly stronger than the blue and with an extra tang. Westmalle originated the triple style of beer and is well known outside of Belgium. In addition to the triple, they also produce a good pale ale called Westmalle Extra and a double. Rochefort is formerly known as the Notre Dame de Saint-Rémy and began brewing in 1595. In addition to the dark ales, they also produce some very good sweeter beers. Westvleteren is the smallest of the abbeys, and the rarest, since you can only buy the beer at the abbey itself, and then you have to phone ahead and reserve a crate for yourself, and you must make the promise to never sell it on. The bottles themselves have no label, and their three beers, the Blonde, the Six, and the Twelve, are only distinguishable by their caps. Orval produce a fairly dry ale, but it's tasty nonetheless, and they've been brewing since before the French Revolution. The final one of the Belgium Trappist ales is Achel, and is the newest of the bunch, serving up a full range of five different beers, from 5% blondes to the 9.5% brun. Like the Westvleteren, this is one I've yet to try, but I'm told it's very good. The only Dutch Trappist ale is La Trappe, founded in 1884. This is notable for producing the only Trappist wit beer at 5.5%. It is also the most commercial of the Trappist breweries, and they've had various legal wranglings over the use of the word Trappist in the past, and they've also entered into licensing agreements with other companies, such as InBev. Nowadays, they've reverted to form, and are brewing the beer in-house, making it very much a Trappist brewery. Tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Adrian Brouwer, from the Belgian brewery Roman. This is a highly fermented brown beer, clocking in at 5%. It does have a slightly dark taste, but is ultimately hollow, which is a shame because it looks like a vibrant dark beer with a reddish-brown body and attractive head. I can only award this 4 out of 10. Oscar Wilde is a mild. Oh, how the brewers love their puns. And this is a 3.5% award-winning beer from the Mighty Oak Brewery in Malden, Essex. This is a complex mild with hints of everything. Chocolate, coffee, malt. When you're getting the aroma of the coffee, you feel like you're tasting the chocolate. And when you're getting the malts, you feel like you're tasting the coffee, and so on. This is a moderately thin brew, but one that feels complete and well-rounded. This scores an easy 8 out of 10. Castle Milk Stout. This is from the South African breweries SAB Miller. This has a black body with a creamy head, and it's visually appealing, and it's matched by the taste. That's to say, the look reflects its taste, and vice versa. It does taste rich, and it does taste creamy, with a very solid bitterness and flavoursome hops. It is also surprisingly refreshing, considering its richness. If you've been put off by the other beers in Castle staples, such as Castle Lager and Castle Light, then this is certainly more interesting than those, and definitely worth checking out. A fulsome 7.5 out of 10. Spectrum Dark Fantastic from Spectrum Brewery. This is a 3.5% mild with a dark ruby colour and consistently balanced flavour of caramel, toffee and malt. It is a little sweet, and with the comparatively low alcohol content, can make this seem like less of a mild than what it really is. It's weaker than the Bartram's Cherry Stout, which we reviewed back in episode 2, but a good beer nevertheless. A respectable 7 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Old Tom from Robinson's. This is a new beer and new brewery to me, despite being nearly 170 years old. It hails from Stockport near Manchester, North England, and uses the sign of the unicorn, taken from the Unicorn Inn that used to stand on the site, and was bought by William Robinson on the 29th of September 1838, a brewery which is still owned by the family to this day. As for the beer, Old Tom is an 8.5% strong ale, first formulated in 1899. It comes in a stubby 330ml bottle with embossed and unbottled writing, along with the label of Old Tom himself, a cheeky-looking tabby cat. When poured, it looks like a solid dark ale with a good lasting head. Taste-wise, liquid licorice. It has the warm, peppery taste that makes this a perfect ale for winter. A comfort ale, as I sometimes say. You know, it's the sort you can curl up with on the sofa without worrying what the world outside thinks, as Bridget Jones would with a tub of ice cream. It is fizzier than you'd expect for a dark or a mild, but that doesn't matter because the continued dark fruit and licorice taste still holds. Stunning stuff. Other brews from Robinson's include Unicorn, a 4.2% best bitter, Hatter's Original Mild at 3.3, plus the seasonal ales of Flash Harry and Mr. Scrooge. These are most likely available in the north of England, and if you're from the south, it's more likely you'll be aware of their XB Cask Ale, which is a 4% golden ale with tart sweetness and comes under the Hartley's brand. That all said, the one to try from Robinson's is definitely Old Tom, so go out there and find yourself some. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. Has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.